I'm Ken Zonley, and this is Performing Arts Gallery. Macomb High School's production of South Pacific hits the high seas tonight, tomorrow night, and tomorrow afternoon for a matinee in Macomb High School's Fellheimer Auditorium. The favorites include There's Nothing Like a Dame, I'm Gonna Wash That Man, and Bali High, performed by a cast of over 60 Macomb High School students. Performances are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, and a 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow afternoon. Tickets will be sold 1 hour before each performance. The producers of South Pacific would like to honor all World War II and Korean War veterans by allowing them a free ticket to the show. Tickets for these veterans must be picked up in advance, though. $7 for adults, $4 for students and children. South Pacific at Macomb High School. More theater in downtown Macomb this weekend and next weekend as the Starry Night Repertory Theater presents The Lady with All the Answers, a comedy about advice columnist Ann Landers. The show is tonight, tomorrow night, and next Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. There are also Saturday matinees tomorrow and next Saturday at 2 p.m. All performances at Taylor's Hall for Events at 125 South Randolph Street, next to the Wine Cellars in Macomb. We had the chance to talk with director Brooke Edwards and star Jeannie Woods. So what is it exactly about Ann Landers that lends itself to being a complete show?
The entire show is based on her letters, the book that she wrote compiling her letters. And I think the purpose of the show is to show the world and Ann Landers that you didn't get from reading her column. You learn less about Ann Landers and more about Eppie Lederer, the woman. She was actually a very compassionate, liberal woman who cared deeply for people, and you get to see the whole person.
It's an interesting case study right off the bat because, of course, Ann Landers was essentially a pen name, and that she had this entire persona as the woman who has all the answers, just as the title of the play would suggest.
Right, and you do find out as well that she was not the first. She took over the job when the woman who originally did it passed away. So it was the pen name of another woman first.
And she also had roots in this area. She was from Sioux City, Iowa. She wrote out of Chicago. She lived in Chicago for many years and had a twin sister who was Dear Abby. So I think most people, certainly of my generation, in the country know Dear Abby or Ann Landers or both. They were really remarkable women. But what I love about her is that, first of all, she has this indomitable spirit, and she also must have been able to go into any society. She could talk to the man on the street. She could talk to the teenager. She could talk to Hubert Humphrey, who she was good friends with. She just went into all levels of society with the same kind of ease, which I think is very enviable.
And that she was so non-judgmental. I actually first saw a production of this about a year ago, a professional production done in St. Louis, and I was baffled, you know, about the woman that she was. As a child, I remember it being in the paper, but, you know, it was just an advice column. And so some aspects of her life, the things that she did, really surprised me. Not that I thought of her a lot, but I think I always thought of her as a very conservative kind of uppity person giving advice, and she was anything but that. I mean, she was friends with Hugh Hefner. She was the first person who mentioned homosexuality in a newspaper in the 50s. She brought a lot of things that were taboo to the forefront and made people talk about them and think about them, which is also just, you know, a wonderful thing that she did with her life.
One of the amazing things about the play is she reads from her column. She's going through her columns, putting together a book of her favorite stories. So you get to hear a lot of those columns. And at the same time, you're really hearing what America was like in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and how she changes with the times. And I think that's a very interesting part of her character, too. She had a very conservative background, Jewish family living in Iowa. She changes with the times and changes her views because she talks to experts, finds out more information, and she has that ability to change and redefine herself that way.
Right. She evolved, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, she took the information that she was getting from her letters, from society, from the people that she met, and she didn't allow her conservative background to stunt. She actually went forward with the times, which is an incredible thing, especially someone like her who was born in the 20s and married in the late 30s. Because I know I have a grandmother who's going to be 90 in November, and you can't change her. You know, she did not change with the times, and sometimes it's very frustrating. And to see this woman who basically was alive during the same period who wasn't afraid to do that, that's a wonderful thing. And that's what I would hope people would take from the show.
She had 60 million readers at the time the play takes place in 1975. She had 90 million by the time she died, which I think was in 2002. She helped pass the National Cancer Act because a million of her readers sent her column to Washington.
And the show was a comedy. You know, it's very funny. Ann Landers had this amazing personality, but she also had this really emotional kind of political side, and there's this wonderful moment in the show where she talks about her views of the Vietnam War and what she did in reaction to how she was feeling, and it's quite touching, and I think audiences will be surprised by this aspect of her. What she does and what she did during the Vietnam War was really incredible, very incredible.
Jeannie Woods, get to play this legend of columnists. And Brooke Edwards, directing the one-woman show, The Lady with All the Answers. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
The one-woman show is playing tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Those same times are good for next weekend as well. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for senior citizens, and $10 for students. It's at the Taylor Hall for Events on South Randolph Street, just off the square, in downtown Macomb.
Johnny was a sailor. He sailed the ocean blue. Then one night he drowned it. He sprung a leak in his left shoe. Oh, jawbone. Oh, jawbone. Oh, jawbone. Won't you carry me back home?
At the Hickory Ridge Concert Series at Dixon Mounds Museum outside Lewiston, it's a rare duo appearance of Hickory Ridge host Chris Vlillo joining former bandmate Ken Carlisle, most famous for his work with Ken Carlisle and the Cadillac Cowboys. The two of them will be together starting at 7:30 on the stage with guitars, mandolins, dobro, jaws, harp, harmonica, fiddle, and accordion. Americana Museum with the two of them at the Hickory Ridge Concert Series at the Dixon Mounds branch of the Illinois State Museum, between Lewiston and Havana off Route 78 and 97. Classical music tonight at 7:30 at the Kofak Recital Hall on the Western Illinois University campus. The WIU Orchestra and Choirs present their Masterworks concerts. It's an all Beethoven program, including the Piano Concerto No. 3, featuring renowned pianist Michael Lewin, The Creatures of Prometheus, and The Mass in C Major. Admission is $7 for the public, free for students with a valid ID. That may be paid at the door. It's at 7:30 tonight at the Kofak Recital Hall. That's the sound of fiddler Andy Carlson and guitarist Casey Cook. They'll be at Music Under the Water Tower in Donelson, Iowa, at the Donelson American Legion Hall. That's next to the water tower, of course. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Beginning this Thursday evening, the 26th, at 7:30 in the Hainline Theater on the WIU campus, the University Dance Theater will be presenting its Spring Gala Dance Concert. We talked with UDT members Anna Thiemenson, Kimmy Knott, Tracy Kaczynski, and Allison Christopoulos. So joining us today is just about the entire cast, it seems, of this year's Spring Gala Dance Concert from the University Dance Theater. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Mainly, this concert is comprised of student compositions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would be the most traditional work on the program?
We have a point piece.
Yes.
And when we say point piece, we mean on point, right?
Yes.
Using the toe shoes and everything, the very painful, hard shoes that enable ballerinas to stay literally on their toes.
Yes, a 16-minute-long point piece.
Wow. And what would be, let's say, the most progressive piece?
I'd say Bridgeway, probably just because it's about chaos and all that's happening in life, and people are getting scooted around on chairs, so it's going to be a very lively piece. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And this is a tradition, it seems, that UDT has had for a number of years. Bridgeway clients are persons with disabilities, and they are dancing despite these disabilities. And in fact, I presume some of what they bring to the table actually is something you normally would not associate with dance.
Well, with wheelchairs, we will get to work with different types of movements, like riding on the wheelchair, making different shapes with the person in the wheelchair, and this time we even have an electric wheelchair that we didn't have before, so we get to ride on top of her while she pushes us around, and so it's pretty fun.
So this may be your first motorized dance.
Right, yeah, it is.
Have any of you choreographed a piece?
I have, and so has Tracy. Tracy actually choreographed two pieces for this show.
So what was your point of departure for designing your work?
My piece kind of hits home a little. It's about my family and kind of the trials and tribulations that we've gone through. And I am very proud of this piece because it's very different from what I've choreographed in the past, and it's to an electronic song. So I'm very excited to bring that different electronic music aspect to UDT instead of the traditional kind of piano or orchestral type of music that we usually use. Instead of dancing off the beat, we're dancing on the beat. It's a heavy rhythmic beat in the background, so very hard and fast movements. I'm very excited to show everybody.
And Tracy, where did you start from with your piece?
During the spring, I've always done a large piece, and this semester I decided to go off society more of how we are more internal beings until some major disaster happens or some world news hits, and then we're all like, oh, I need to give money or something like that. And then a week into it, we're back to being internal beings and worrying about ourselves.
And I understand that some of you and one of your teachers has recently had quite an honor.
We went to American Collegiate Dance Festival at Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri, in March. And their Candace Winters March took her piece that she re-put on a cast over this past year, and 11 of us danced at this festival. And the piece will be in the concert this semester, and she added a section to it. And so now there's two sections to this piece, and we got into the gala at the conference. We were one of 11 dances out of about 36 dances that got into the gala. We were all pretty excited about that.
Well, congratulations. And so that's high-achieving piece will be on the program.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's titled Multiverse.
And so all of these pieces will be in the Spring Gala Dance Concert, and that is April 26th through 28th, Thursday through Saturday. Where will that be?
Hainline Theater.
7:30 p.m. each night?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you.
Anna Thiemensen, Kimmy Knott, Tracy Kuczynski, and Allison Christopoulos of the University Dance Theater. I'm Ken Zonley. Join me again for Performing Arts Gallery.